For the last month, if you've been with us, we've been in this series, Love Revolution. And I've basically been challenging you, kind of the best way I know how, to love other people. It's that simple. If you follow Jesus, by the way, I'm well aware everybody in the room doesn't, and we're stoked you're here. But if you follow Jesus, we believe Jesus has called us to love other people. In fact, he even says that our love for other people is how the world's going to know that we follow him. That's what we're going to be known for. So I've been challenging the best I can to love other people, to serve other people. And you guys have done it. I believe you have. I mean, there's a table outside that's proof that you've taken this seriously. I mean, that table is like full up and overflowing with school supplies for Myrtle Beach Middle School. You know, and I asked you to do that 2 weeks ago. I was like, hey, let's do this. And you did it. You know, so you're getting it. I believe in the community, you're getting it. I believe at home, you're getting it. I believe that you are seriously embracing this idea that we're called to love other people. I believe you're getting it because you're talking to me about it. I'm getting Facebook messages. I'm getting people asking me questions. So I know it's working. I know it's landing. And today, as we wrap up this series, we're not wrapping up the movement. Love Revolution is going to keep going. We're going to keep loving other people. If you're in a community group, you know, we've got things planned for them this fall. We'll probably do something around Christmas time. The Love Revolution doesn't stop. I hope you keep using the cards. I hope you keep loving other people. But the series, I'm sorry, it must end, right? We gotta move on to other things. But what I want to do today, as we wrap up the series, is I want to address a topic. I want to address an issue that you've dealt with for the past 3 weeks, you just didn't know you were dealing with it. I want to address something that you've probably done, you subconsciously didn't even think about it. As you've been loving, as you've been serving other people, I'm going to guess that you've gone out of your way to be nicer. Hopefully you have. If you haven't, you haven't been listening and you should download the podcasts. Hopefully you've been nicer to your spouse. Any spouses want to back that up? Anybody who's have a husband or wife who's been nicer to them from this series? No? Good night. Y'all have a good... Wow, that hurt. That hurt. Ow. Okay, anyway. Hopefully maybe you're just shy. All right, I'll hope you've been being nice to each other. But I'm going to guess you've gone out of your way to serve and to love, maybe not your spouse because you're a jerk, but maybe your kids or maybe your neighbor. All right, maybe you've gone out of way to show some affection to someone at work appropriately. You know, maybe even strangers. Like, you let the jerk cut you off in traffic and you're like, here you go. Love Revolution. Strangers, even here. Most of you, I don't believe, have students at Myrtle Beach Middle School, yet you've brought supplies for them. Now, but I bet there's one group of people over the last 3 weeks that you have not gone out of your way to love. You have not gone out of your way to show affection to, and it never even occurred to you to do it. And that group of people... We live in the South, so we don't say we have enemies in the South. We don't even really say people that we have that we don't like. We just say, oh, well, they just don't like us. Right? I don't know what I ever did to them, but they don't like me. Oh. But they exist, right? Enemies, people we don't like. People that don't like us. People we don't like for good reasons, because they've been mean to us. Because they've spread lies about us. Because they got you fired. Because they called the cops on your party. That has happened to me. But it wasn't a party. It was the very first service we had for Easter. Before we even launched the church. Before we even started service. The cops showed up. And he said, you got to turn the music down. And I said, but we're about to have church. And he said, oh, no. I'm so sorry. But you're too loud. And I love that guy that called the cops. No, I don't. I was mad at him. But I have a question for you today as we end this series. Aren't we supposed to love them too? The Christ followers in the room need to say yes. Everybody else in the room needs to say, I don't think so. But we are called to love them too. I mean, you look at Jesus, okay? Jesus, for those of you who don't know, Son of God, Jesus was on a Thursday night after dinner with his friends. They had a good time. They had gone to hang out at his favorite place. They were chilling. Jesus was arrested. He was taken and had a false trial. He was lied about. He was spit upon. They spit in his face. They then beat him, flogged him. Then they stripped him naked, nailed a crown of thorns onto his head, spread his arms apart, nailed him to a tree, and then brought the tree up. And he was completely naked in front of the entire city. They did this to a man who had never done anything wrong in his life. And while hanging on the tree, doing everything he can to grasp for life, because his lungs at the time were filling up fluid, and he was suffocating. Everything he can to grasp for life, he takes one of those breaths and utters this sentence, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. What? That is not what you or I would have said at that moment. If we had been God and would have had the power to call down angels, I believe we would have said something different. Something like, sick them, boys. Right? That's what we'd have said. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And I don't know about you. I grew up in church, been around church my whole life, so I've heard that story 1,000 times. And I've always just said, well, dude, come on, he was God. Like, of course he could forgive. He was God. I'm not God. I'm not going to forgive those people. I'm not going to love those people. You do something wrong to me, I'm going to come at you. That's human nature. Now, here's the problem with that. There's this dude in the Bible named Paul. Paul, we've been studying this whole series, Paul and Jesus. Paul was an early pastor, started a bunch of churches, wrote about half the New Testament. Now, the problem is Paul, he wasn't God. We know Paul wasn't God. All right, we know this because for a good portion of Paul's adult life, he attacked the church. He wanted to destroy the church. He hated Christians. He had them arrested. He oversaw the first execution of a Christian. Then he had a radical, life-changing encounter with the God of the universe and went on to become the Paul that we read about in the New Testament. But this dude wasn't God. And in Acts 21, Acts is the fifth book of the New Testament, written by this guy named Luke, and it's basically an early history of the church. In Acts 21, here's what happens. Paul had been out getting it done, had been out starting churches, all that kind of stuff. He decides, I'm going to go back to Jerusalem, see some of my peeps, chill a bit. So he goes back to Jerusalem, and the Jewish leaders there who are still trying to kill the church find out he's there. And guess what they do? They go to the Roman soldiers, and they go to the Roman government, and they say, this guy is leading a revolt. A lie. They lied about him. They had him arrested. Sound familiar? As he's being arrested, guess what? A mob comes up. They start beating Paul. The Roman soldiers see what's happening, and they say, oh no, we got to shut this down. Because Rome doesn't care who's at fault. They just want everything to be quiet. See, Rome was like a father trying to watch a football game. I don't care who's at fault. Just be quiet. The game's on. That was Rome. They just wanted it quiet. Just give me 5 minutes of quiet. And so the Roman soldiers are like, we got to stop this. We got to stop this revolt. So they go and they rescue Paul. And as they get Paul, the crowd, again, it's going to sound familiar. The crowd starts yelling, kill him. Kill him. Kill him. And Paul, whose clothes are probably torn, he's got blood on his face, asked the Roman soldier, said, hey, can you guys give me a minute? And the Roman soldier's like, dude, are you serious? These people are about to kill you. He goes, I know. Can you give me a minute? He wipes the blood from his face. Gets everybody to calm down. He's like, shh, 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 come down. Just come down. Come down. And as they calm down, he goes, you guys are jerks. No, it's not what he says. It's not what he says. It's not what he says. It's what I would have said. No. Literally, blood still dripping from his face. He's having to wipe it off. Maybe he even has like a bandage over an eye as he's doing this. He gets up in front of the crowd. And he says, God loves you and he sent his son Jesus to die for you, and I want to tell you about it. To this group of people who had just tried to have him killed. And again, you and I look at that and we say, whoa, 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 time out, wait a minute. That's too far. That's too far. I know you're not really asking me to do that. I know you're not really asking me. I get loving the person that maybe lied about me a little bit, but like these are enemies. These are bad people. God, how can you do this? How can you ask me to do this? How is this fair? How is it even possible? I think it's a valid question. How is it possible? So as we wrap up Love Evolution today, as we wrap up this series, what I want to do is I want to try to show you as best I can from Scripture how it's possible. Because it is. Not only is it possible, for those of us in the room that love Jesus and call him Lord, it's commanded. It's what we're to do. And so what I want to do today is I want to step back and examine Jesus and Paul, because here's one thing I've noticed as I've studied them and as we get to what we're about to talk about. What I've noticed is that Jesus and Paul, when they responded to their enemies, they responded to people who didn't like them, who wanted bad things for them, he did very little to do with the emotion that was going on inside of them. I do not believe for one second that as Paul was wiping the blood from his face, he felt good about those people. I don't think he felt like he wanted to do this. So it's not an emotional thing. I think it had very little to do with emotion. I think it had everything to do with Paul's perspective. Was Paul's view of the world and himself in it. Now, I got to kind of step to the side for a minute. I'm just going to ask you a question. How many of you guys have ever heard the phrase, well, blah, 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 but in the long run, it was worth it? Right? In the long run, it's worth it. Short term, long term. We've heard these phrases before. What they basically mean is, even though something right now isn't what I want it to be, what it should be, what it can be, blah, 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 in the long run, it's going to work out. In the long run, it's going to be better. In the short run, your infant waking you up at 3 a.m. is no fun. But in the long run, you know you got to go do it, because one day they're going to give you grandchildren and you get to watch them suffer. In the short term, it might sound like a great idea to eat ice cream every day, all day. In the long run, not so good. In the short term, it might sound like a good idea to say, you know what, I want to be free. So I'm going to quit my job, I'm going to sell my house, and I'm going to fly to Europe. And that might be fun until they cancel your credit cards. And then what? In the long run, it wasn't worth it. Now, this, please hear me. I'm not acting like this is a new concept. I'm not acting like this is a mind-blowing concept. You get this concept. Every adult in the room gets this concept in some way, shape, or form. Right? Right? You get it. Any parents in the room, you get it. I just talked about 3 a.m. Any parents of teenagers, you get it. They had their first breakup. And they thought it was the end of the world. And no one's ever going to love me again. And you're like, sweetie, he was a moron. Are you you're crying over that guy? Oh, but it's because you have perspective. You've lived your life. You get it. They have not. Now, the reason I'm talking about all this, the reason I'm trying to get you to think about perspective is short-term and long-term and all that is this. It's because I believe that our ability to love other people, especially those that don't like us or disagree with us or are different than us, our ability to love them is directly related to our ability to see the big picture. It's directly related to our ability to understand the long run in life. So now what I'm going to do to try to help you understand that is we're going to turn to the book of Colossians. If you have your Bible, you can go there. Colossians. And it's real simple today. First thing I'm going to do, I'm going to try my best to share with you a simple truth about your relationship with Jesus, if you have one. And then number two, I'm going to try to help you understand how to live in light of that truth. All right? Very simple message today. I want to help you see the truth and how to live in light of it. And I really believe it'll be life-changing. I really do. So we're going to start in Colossians 1, start in verse 3. This is Paul. Paul, the dude that was beaten. Paul had written a letter to the church at Colossae. And this is what it says. It says in verse 3, it says, "We always pray for you and give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He says, be nice. I love you. We pray for you. Then he says this. He says, "For we have heard of your faith in Christ." Your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people. Look at that. A group of Christians being known for their love. Paul says it. Hey guys, one thing I know about you, you love people. You love God's people. And that doesn't mean just Christians. We're all God's people because he loves all of us. He wants all of us to come home. And he says, guys, I want you to know I'm thanking God for you. I'm praying for you because you guys are getting it done. You're loving other people. And he says this love in verse 5, which comes, watch this. This love, it doesn't come from your emotion. It doesn't come because you're super spiritual. It doesn't come because you're super holy. Watch this, verse 5. This love, which comes from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. Paul's saying, you guys are known for your love, which is awesome. And the reason that you're able to do that is because of your understanding of what's reserved for you in heaven. What's coming in eternity for those of us who love Christ. So somehow, what Paul's saying is somehow our ability to interact with people today, our ability to love people that hurt us and all those kind of things, somehow that is tied not to emotion, not to holiness, but it's tied to an understanding of what's to come. It's tied to what's next. Now, I want to jump to chapter 3 to help really flesh this out, okay? Because this is where Paul really, really begins to make clear what it is we're saying. But right now, just know that somehow our ability to love other people is tied to our understanding of the future, right? So chapter 3, verse 1 is where I'm going to be. All right. Again, talking to Christ followers, talking to those of us in the room today who follow Jesus. If you're in the room today, you're checking God out, stoked you're here. I want you to know what you're going to hear today is a picture of what God is promising to you. And it's freely available. All you have to do is accept it. All right. Chapter 3, verse 1. "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand." Again, Paul's talking to those of us that are in the group, on the team. And of course, he says focus on Jesus because that makes sense, right? Because Jesus is the source of everything. He's the guy that died for us. He's the guy that created everything. Makes sense to say focus on Jesus. But I want you to see, he didn't just say focus on Jesus. He says focus. Again, there's that realities of heaven. There's that reality that there's something else there. What I think Paul's saying, This is huge. I hope you can catch this. I hope you're with me. What Paul's basically reminding them, he's saying, hey, look, don't forget that heaven is a real place. Don't forget that there's a place where Jesus really is, and he really is preparing for you to spend eternity with him there. Don't forget that after this, there's something else. Don't forget that. Do not forget it. And I don't know about you guys, but that right there is a great reminder for me as a follower of Jesus. It is. It's a great reminder for me. It's a great reminder that carpools and making good grades and getting the right job and finding the house and the Gamecocks winning or losing and all that kind of stuff, while awesome, is not, I'm sorry, it's not the most important thing. Now to us, let's be honest, come on, let's be real today. Let's be real today, those of us who follow Christ, let's be real. Don't be super holy and don't say, oh no, I wake up every day and I think about the fact that I live for Jesus and nothing matters. No, you don't. You wake up every day and you think, man, I got to go to work. And man, uh-oh, did we get this done? Did that get done? This guy didn't show up. Dang it, I got to drive carpool, right? That's what we do. We think about those things. We think about them because they're urgent in the moment. They're there. We can see them. We can touch them. We can experience them. And most of us live in the moment of the urgent. And Paul gets that. God gets that. He gets that you got a family, you got a job, you got things going on. And all he's trying to say is, hey, look, I get all that. I get it. All I'm encouraging you to do, all I'm asking you to do is just remember. Don't forget. Don't forget that there's a long term here. Don't forget that there's something next. Don't forget that what's happening here is not all there is. Don't forget that. Don't forget that forever is waiting. Eternity. That thing that you try to think about and it makes your brain hurt because you got to stop because it's eternity. That's waiting. That's what's next. And Paul wants to keep making it clear, and I do too. So, verse 2. He says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Again, things of heaven. What does that mean? That means eternal things. That means things that have eternal impact. Think about the fact that there is an eternity. And we want to say back to Paul, but my kid's sick. I just spent last night in the emergency room. They're about to foreclose on my house. It's nice enough for you to say to think about the things of eternity, but I'm kind of freaking out here. And again, Paul would say, I get it. I know you are. Those things are important. I'm not telling you not to think about them. I'm just trying to help give you a better perspective on those things. I'm just trying to broaden your understanding just a bit. I'm just trying to help you step back just a little bit and see that there's a short term and there's a long term. And the long term is eternity with God. Forever with God. Now, Paul, he's now trying to explain. Now, look, he helped you say that. He's like, here's why. Here's why I need you to do this. Verse 3, he said, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. If you've been around church before, you've probably heard this phrase, you know, you die with Christ, new life has come. When we baptize people, we say it, but we kind of gloss over it, right? I don't know that many of us really get what that means, what that promise is, what that truth is for those of us who are in Jesus, who have given our lives to Jesus. Here's what it means. It means when we began our relationship with Jesus Christ, we literally started over. We started a new life, one that we are saying is dedicated to serving Him. That's what we said. And so what that means, die to this life means that the things that we were brought up to believe had value, the things that we thought had value, the things that we still think have value, like money or fame or influence or, you know, security, winning, all that kind of stuff. Those things that we lived for, and by lived for I mean chased, because we thought if I can get this thing, it's going to make me happy. What he's saying is, dude, when I came into your life, that was supposed to be gone. And I get that it's not, but we're working on it, right? Every day you're realizing more and more that no matter how much money you make, it's not going to make you happy. Every day you're realizing no matter how big your house is, it's never going to make you happy because of stuff. and you're worshiping your stuff, and I want you to worship the creator of the stuff. He's saying, that's gone, hopefully. And we're going to continue to work on that for the rest of your time here to remove that so that you can focus more on your real life. But I want you to see, he says that our real life is hidden in Christ. Hidden in Christ. That means sometimes you won't know what's going on. You're going to think it's time to zig, and God's going to say, we're going to zag. And you zig, and God zags, and you're like, what? Sometimes you're going to think God is in this deal, and then it's going to fall through. And you're going to say, what? And God's going to remind you. Think about it in the long run. You got eternity with me. Your life is hidden with me. Sometimes things aren't going to go exactly like you think they should. But here's the promise, verse 4. Here's the promise. And when Christ, who is your life, it's not just a phrase. He's our life. That means he's the source of life, the creator of life, and the purpose of life. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world. So as we live for Christ, as we focus on him, as we begin to focus more on the long term, less on the short term, and make sure he's known, watch this, you will share in all his glory. Glory. We'll share in his glory. Do you understand what it says? Saying when we dedicate our lives to Christ and doing whatever we can to reveal him to the world, somehow, and I don't know how it works, some people think it's going to make you rich and never get sick, and that's a lie. But we're going to get rewarded. My guess is it's not going to be here, it's going to be later. Because if I'm God and I can give you a short-term reward or a long-term reward, why on earth would I give you a short-term reward when I got eternity waiting? Paul's saying to them and to us, if we're on God's team, if we're in his group, we have to begin to look at the long run, the long term in life. In the midst of the craziness, the car pulls, the dates, the late nights at work, the planning of the weddings, in the midst of all that, Paul's embrace is challenging us to embrace the truth. And here's the truth. Here's the truth I hope you get if you're a Christ follower today. Here it is. The truth is this. If you have given your life to Jesus Christ, I have news for you today. You are not a citizen of the United States of America any longer. You're not a citizen of South Carolina any longer. You're not a citizen of this planet any longer. You, my friend, you, my brother, you, my sister, have been given the amazing privilege of being a citizen of heaven. That's your home. That's what's next. That's what's waiting. You are a citizen of heaven. And we want to say, what does that mean? That sounds a little creepy. Sounds a bit cultish. Are we about to wear robes and pass out some Kool-Aid? No, we're not. I mean, the kids might have Kool-Aid, but it's good Kool-Aid. It ain't. If you drink the Kool-Aid here, that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. No. No, citizens of heaven, it means that we actually believe it. Most of us live our lives convinced that we're not citizens of heaven, we're citizens of earth. I'll give you some examples. The Bible clearly says that God is in charge of our authorities. The Bible clearly says that God is in charge of our leaders. Yet there are many of us in the room today, myself included, who will literally freak out if the right person doesn't get elected to office. Because we think, oh, the world's going to end. Short-term thinking. Short-term view. Again, I'm guilty. Driving down the road, the person cuts me off in traffic. I want to bring justice on that person. And the way I bring justice on them is to pull up beside them and give them my stare of death. I don't know it's going to help. They don't know what I'm doing. They just think I'm having a bad day. I don't care. It makes me feel better. Because they need to know what they did. Short term thinking. The person cuts in line at Chick-fil-A. I mean, come on, that's the Christian place. We're at our kids' sporting events and the umpire blows a call, costs your kid the game. What are you going to teach your kid? Short term? Long term? Short run? I'm going to forfeit my authority and influence on my son's life so that I can abuse this human being who's getting paid $5 an hour to get yelled at by parents. For nothing. He's not going to change the call. And they're seven. It doesn't matter. Or are you a citizen of heaven? In the long run, does this really matter? Maybe your daughter didn't get the lead in her dance recital. Maybe she got cast as an extra in the school play and didn't get the lead role. And the girl that did get the lead role is nowhere near as talented as your daughter. And we all know this. Everybody says so. There's a Facebook petition to change it, but I won't sign it because I'm too good for that. Short term, long term. Citizen of earth, citizen of heaven. See, it's real simple today. The truth is that if we follow Christ, we are a citizen of heaven. We have something else waiting. This isn't all there is. There's more. Just like the screaming infant at 4 months old isn't all there is, because if there was, we wouldn't have kids. No, we know there's more. So we deal with what we have to deal with to get to what's better. And that's the application. The truth is we're citizens of heaven. The application is act like it. Act like it. And that's what Paul does. In verses 5 through 9, I'm not going to read them, but what Paul basically says is he talks about become like Jesus. He lists specific sins for you to stop doing. Lust, evil desires, greed. You know the list. He says, don't do that and become more like Jesus. That's what he says. Just stop it. Stop acting like citizens of earth and act like citizens of heaven. Verse 10, he says this. He says, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Learn more about Jesus. Let Him change you. Verse 12, since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Citizen of heaven. Put on some clothes. Don't be a naked Christian. See, I think it's interesting that he says, clothe yourself. Clothing myself isn't a real emotional issue. Clothing myself is a practical issue. I get up, I choose my clothing, or my wife, my mother used to use my clothes. No, hey, I'm not going to lie. My father dresses me half the time, so I don't really know. My mom buys me clothes, too. Yes, my mother still dresses me. My father dresses me, and my wife dresses me. Get over it. And she thinks I look good. Don't know how, but she does. So there. But it's a choice. You choose to put on those things. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, hey, as a citizen of heaven, choose to be tenderhearted. Choose to have mercy. Choose to be kind. Choose to be humble. Choose to be gentle. Choose to be patient. Because in the long run, that's what's best. So do it. And again, you get this. I don't for one second believe that every morning when you wake up, every single morning, Your desire is, oh, I can't wait to go to work today. Some days, sure. Other days, I'm sure you want to call in sick. But most of you, most of the time, don't do it because you like to eat food. So you think about the long run. You think, short term, it would be awesome to stay in this bed. Long run, I'd get fired, so I'm going to get out of bed. You made a rational decision. You overrode your emotion and made a decision. You didn't feel like it, but you did it because you looked at the long term. I like to eat. If you have children, they really like to eat. Here's what else we do as citizens of heaven. Verse 13. Make allowances for each other's faults. Whoa. See what it says? Make allowances for each other's faults. That means expect people to hurt you. And go ahead and forgive them before they do. Don't hold it over their head and make them jump through hoops. If you make an allowance for other people's faults and forgive anyone who offends you, that's the next point. He's saying, just expect it. Just be prepared for it. Especially people that don't love Jesus, why on earth would you expect them to act like they do? Of course they're going to cut you off in traffic. They hate you. It's a battle. And they want to get there 10 seconds before you do. So make allowances for that. And watch this. Remember, the Lord forgave you. That's right, you did, didn't you? You did, didn't you? That's right. And I've done a lot worse to you than cut you off in traffic. That's a good point. The Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. 14, above all, here it is again. It always comes back to this, above all, more than anything else. Clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. He's saying, above all, as a citizen of heaven, as a firm embracer of the long run, as a firm embracer of I've got a future that's next, I've got something waiting for me, I'm to embrace love. I'm to love other people. And I want you to hear this. This means that love is not a feeling. It's a conscious choice. It's a rational thought to say, this doesn't matter, this isn't that big a deal, because I got eternity waiting, so in the meantime, I'm going to love. And then we're going to skip down to verse 17, last verse. Paul kind of wraps it up. He says this, he says, and whatever you do, whatever you say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him through God the Father. He's saying, just remember, just remember, just remember, whatever you do, you are doing it as a citizen of heaven. You are doing it as a representative of Jesus. Now, let's go back to the beginning. You're doing it as a representative of the dude who, while hanging on a tree, made the conscious choice to say, God, I love him and please forgive him. You're doing it because Paul, as he was bloodied and beaten, wiping blood from his face, didn't have an emotional reaction to say, oh, I love them so much. No. He had a rational thought process that said, I am not a citizen of this earth. I am a citizen of heaven. I have an eternity waiting for me. That is my future, my present. I have a job to do, and I'm going to tell these people about Jesus because they didn't know what they were doing anyway. See, if I got up here and I tried to tell you that loving other people and loving your enemies is an emotional thing, you'd all walk out of here and think I was crazy because you know you can't do it. That's not what I want to leave you with. I don't want to leave you with an emotional thing. I want to leave you with a new perspective. Don't live your life in the short term. Just think about the long term. Think about the long run. take the long view. See, we can do that. When we can just decide, not emotionally, but just rationally, decide, you know what, that's right. I don't think about it enough, but that's right. If I've given my life to Christ, if I've surrendered to Him, that's right. I have eternity waiting. God's got my back. Sometimes I'm going to be confused because things are going to be hidden from me and I'm not going to understand them. But God's Word promises that all things work together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. I love Him. I'm called according to His purpose. So that means no matter what happens, it's all good. That's the key. It's not emotion, it's perspective. I pray as we wrap up the series that your perspective can be changed, that your view can be broadened, and as you live your life the next weeks and months and years, that this will more firmly plant itself in your soul so that it becomes second nature when you are wronged. It becomes second nature when you are offended, to say, you know what, a short-term thinking, and I got a long-term God, and He has promised that He's got my back. He has promised that everything's going to work to the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. So I'm going to live here for Him because I got eternity waiting. I'm going to stop focusing on getting what's mine, and I'm going to start focusing on telling what He did. That's what a citizen of heaven does. It goes back to the thing we've been saying the entire series, folks. It's not about proving a point. It's about making a difference. May you leave here today with your perspective changed. May you leave here understanding you are a citizen of heaven and you have a future promised. And your calling now is to represent Jesus and to love Him. If you do, I'm telling you right now, Myrtle Beach will never be the same. Ever. This is our calling. Let's act like it. Let's love like it. And let's change the world. Father God, I thank you so much for your patience with us. I thank you how you just continue to teach us these things. Lord, I truly do pray that we all walk out of here today changed, not emotionally, Father, but just right in our heads and our brains, rationally, intellectually. Just help us to see how simple this is, that it's not a love-hate issue. It's a perspective issue. Father, give us your perspective. Let us be reminded daily, hourly, that we are citizens of heaven and we got our future waiting. So right now, it's all about you and loving other people. It's in your name we pray.